Okay, so we're gonna, this VOD actually is going to be Shalema for Shimon and Bela, where the
Hey.
surgery should be successful and should just be able to walk and stand well without any pain. So this week I wanted to discuss a little bit about building and maintaining our personal relationship with Hashem. And a mashal that they give is a person, and this can happen to many of us. You can attend the most elaborate wedding conceivable, and yet still spend most of the evening bored and ambivalent. And why? Because there's no one at the table that we connect to. On the other hand, one could be standing online, bank, supermarket, doesn't really make a difference, and yet it could be exhilarating. And the reason is because he meets an old friend, and they can spend the time in a meaningful conversation. Human beings yearn to feel connected. Every person cherishes the feelings of being valued, cared for, heard, and accepted. Yet, this feeling between people, as fulfilling as it is just a little bit of the radiance we experience from the greatest connection of all, and that's us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In those moments, which we all have at some points, of true connection during tefillah, one is filled with a deep intrinsic sense of purpose and bonding with Hashem. And that's because in that meaningful moment, we're fulfilling the purpose of creation. And that purpose is getting close to our Father, to Hashem. For many, this only comes when we're in a Eitz Tzara, and the trouble, the pain, brings out the desire to become close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But even when there's no Tzara, even when there's no pressing problem, there's always an inner need to feel that close connection, and it doesn't diminish. One does not only daven because of what we need from Hashem, as we mentioned in an earlier VOD, he's not just a vending machine. Rather, we're davening because the most essential need that we have is just to grow close to Hashem. And we want to reaffirm that closeness, and that's why we are constantly davening. And if we look at our own children, children of a loving father where they feel the love don't only come to him at time of need. But they always want to be near their father. They always want to be close with him. And the same is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there are two dynamics to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of awesomeness and one of benevolence. Which emotion, the awe or the joy, is the proper one to foster our relationship, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we daven? So Rav Shimon Schwab quotes Rav Shimshon Raphael Hirsch that really, these two seemingly opposite emotions really coexist. And he says, if you look at Adon Olam, that's exactly where we learn it from. Adon Olam talks about Hashem's awesomeness, the mastery, everything going on. And then we say, V'hu keili v'chagol, he's mine. He's my Hashem from the benevolent part. And if we just stop to think for a moment between someone who says, a child versus my child, or a father versus my father, the word my makes it more personal. It's not just, we're talking about the same child or the same parent, but it becomes a personal connection. And the same thing is with Hashem. When it's v'hu keli, he's my Hashem, then it's I have a personal connection to him. Now, the spiritual, point as we go through a person's journey through his daily life, happens. This apex happens three times a day, where we have the audience with the king of all kings. And every word, every emotion that we go through at that moment has the potential to strengthen that relationship. And it's a relationship that, as we said during Shemoneh Esrei, reaches the highest climax, but really throughout the day, we constantly have that ability. There's no other tefillah, no other bracha that has that same direct personal one-on-one encounter as Shemoneh Esrei does. And it gives each and every one of us, no matter where we're holding in life, whether we're doing the mitzvahs properly, we're learning, we have siddurim, whether we're not, we're, as some people have their issues with Hashem, but it gives everybody, no matter where they are in life, that opportunity of that private meeting with his benefactor. And the Aruch HaShulchan tells us, tefillah is as if you're standing before the king and talking panim al panim, you're talking face to face with him. And therefore, that's the reason Shemoneh Esrei is done standing and done with that awe and reverence, is because we're talking to Hashem one-on-one right there. And Shin Pinkus tells us that we should look at this moment as, this is my opportunity to speak to Hashem personally. And not, many times we come to tefillah, I have to daven again, just another, you know, but we have to realize that this is the chance where, you know, to have my one-on-one session, you know, with the greatest therapist, the great, you know, the best parent in the world. On the last Shabbos that Rabbi Yecheskel Levenstein, you know, was on this on earth, he got up to daven and he gathered his strength. It was difficult for him. He motioned to someone to bring over his kapota, even though it was very hard to put it on. But, you know, he was going to daven and he felt he needed to put it on. And we know that people respond to the cues that are provided through their clothing and their surroundings. A kala, you know, feels regal when she puts on the wedding gown. A police officer feels emboldened and focused when he has his uniform. We know children perform better in school when there's a dress code or a uniform in place. And it's for that reason that a person who seeks to feel the reality of coming before Hashem, coming face to face before Hashem, that we dress properly to help us feel, you know, what are we coming to do? What are we about to do with this opportunity as we're making our in-person pleas before him? Now, surprisingly, as much as Shemoneh Esrei demands that acute awareness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu as our King, we do not once in any bracha say Melech HaOlam as we do in every other bracha that we make. And Rav Eliyahu Lapliyan explains, he says, he brings a mashal. He says, when the king's son goes out in public and speaks in front of a gathering, he never says, oh, my father, you know, said this. But he says, His Majesty the King. And that's how he refers to him. But when he's at home, he does not refer to him as His Majesty the King. He calls him my father. He says, during Shemoneh Esrei, we're not out in public. During Shemoneh Esrei, we're not pronouncing the king's grandeur to the world. We're at home. We're in shul right now. And we're talking to our father one-on-one in our, you know, hushed tone so that the next person, it's just me and Hashem, me and my father. And Hashem lovingly is ministering to us all the needs that we have despite, as we said, our imperfections, but just because we're his children. Now, what if someone just cannot arouse himself to these feelings of joy and closeness to Hashem, to his father? So Rav Eliyahu Lapliyan explains, he says that the act of tefillah alone, the act of tefillah itself will awaken that recognition. He says it's just like the neshama is just like the body, and if we don't feed the body, and there's a story he brings from the war times of a child that had not eaten for a long time, and as he was, I guess, coming towards his end, his mind started to weaken. He stopped, recognizing his friends, and eventually his siblings, and eventually his father. And he says the neshama is the same. If we don't feed it its steady diet of tefillah, shachris, mincha, maariv, Torah, mitzvahs on a daily basis, the neshama goes through the same. But if it has that diet, then with time, that recognition of who my father is and what he does will help us to, you know, grow close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was once a young man who was recently married, and he just couldn't imagine that the relationship him and his wife were having was the sum total of marriage. The tension, the fighting between them was as thick and as mobile as an ancient glacier. His rabbi listened sympathetically as he described the situation, and the rabbi said, it's not so hopeless. He tells him, he says, what you need to do is you have to work on a good relationship. He says, show her that you care about her. He says, when you go home tonight, bring her 24 beautiful long-stemmed roses. Get her nice expensive ones that will last, not cheap ones. And when you walk through the door, give her the roses and say, these flowers are for you. I care about you deeply. And the young man followed his rabbi's instructions. He walked through the door of his home, casually handed his wife the bouquet. My rabbi said I should tell you, these flowers are for you. I care about you deeply. He told her matter-of-factly. Then he went into his study and opened the mail. Often, a person's relationship with a Kadosh Baruch Hu in tefillah is a mirror image of this story. We're instructed how to daven. The Anshe Knesset Gedolah gave us the words. What's missing sometimes is the sincerity, the real feel of emotion behind these words. And an emotion that can arise from that inner desire of building that meaningful connection. So the story might be funny, but we do a lot of the same because, you know, we just read the words. The words are there. It's what, you know, it's what our rabbis told us to say to you, Hashem. But we have to put that feeling in and in that way, you know, develop that real emotion. So how does one build this secure relationship, this durable relationship that will get Hashem's bracha? And the answer is practical, it's achievable, but it takes effort. The first thing one needs to do is we need to set our goals before we meet Hashem in tefillah. Unlike most mitzvos, that we simply just do a physical act and that's the mitzvah, tefillah needs more. You have to prepare, you have to think beforehand, what are we hoping to accomplish in our tefillah? What are we davening for, perhaps specifically? And it's more than just beseeching Hashem for our needs, but we're seeking that meaningful relationship, and we have to realize that and think about it as we go into the davening. Secondly, we have to internalize Hashem's always there with us. And every person, as we mentioned, needs to feel loved, needs to feel that someone cares about his concerns, and is there for him no matter what. In coming before Hashem, a person can infuse himself with that joy of knowing that this person, this one who will be listening, is the one who can do everything for him. He's not simply just davening to someone, but he's going to speak to the source of all kochos, of all good. And we have to remember, even in the tough moments, that Hashem is always with us. And as the mashal, or the, I don't know if it's Chazal or not, but the famous poem of Footsteps in the Sand, where the person comes up at the end of life, and they review life, and in the most difficult parts of life, there was only one set of footprints walking on the sand, where in all the other parts, there were always two sets. And the person looked at Hashem and says, you know what? In the most difficult part, there's only my footsteps. Where'd you go? And Hashem said, no, those were my footsteps. I was holding you in those moments. And we have to remember that he's always there. And it might be tough, and we might be going through a moment that we don't understand, but he's there with us, he's holding us. Thirdly, we have to be present in the moment. And parents and spouses are often advised that we have to be an active listener. Not to be thinking about other things, not to be looking at other things, dealing with other things, checking texts and emails, busy with other activities. But when our child or our spouse is trying to communicate, to be focused on what they're telling us. And it would seem clear that the same thing is when we're talking to Hashem. Not to be multitasking and doing other things, but to be focused on that I'm talking to Hashem. And not, my friend or the text or, any other task other than what I'm here to do. Fourthly, be enthusiastic about the relationship. As we know, boredom is the enemy of every close, familiar relationship. And as we mentioned in some of the earlier strategies in early Avadim, that we become very accustomed to the davening, and we have to find ways to make it that the repetition of doing it every day, three times a day, does not make the relationship a boring relationship, but something that we're enthusiastic to be able to come and have our face-to-face meeting with Hashem. Fifth is to have faith and trust in the relationship. As we know, trust is the key to every close human relationship, whether it's parent-child, husband-wife, friend-to-friend. And to thrive and grow, all these relationships require the faith of each person's goodwill and commitment in the relationship. And this is what enables trust to endure in the face of, sometimes it's hurt and disappointment, and the same things with Hashem. Sometimes we feel the hurt or the disappointment, but if we have that trust and we have that faith, the relationship continues to grow and doesn't crumble. My friend tells over a story of a woman he was talking to who told her that, she lost her feeling of closeness to Hashem. And she said, tefillah is very dry and lifeless for me. And, he went through discussion, trying to figure it out, and he found out that her husband suffered from a long illness, her father died at an early age and never got to see his grandchildren, and there was an anger she carried towards Hashem and a disappointment in her life. And therefore, she didn't know at this point how to open up and how to daven to Hashem with that closeness when she was in such anguish. And many of us can relate to this experience. Many of us go through a time of crisis, we have difficulties, which in turn negatively impact our ability to develop the relationship because, it doesn't seem to come out the way we want it. But if we can trust that every test, every challenge, and even a tragedy comes from a loving Father, a loving Hashem, then that is something that can help the relationship. And we need to work on the relationship because, as in any relationship, stagnation will kick in. And we have to, over and over again, take every situation and every moment we have to connect Hashem through tefillah. And as we say in Tehillim, we say it at the end of davening on Shabbos, Kaveh el Hashem, chazek v'yamitz libecha v'kaveh el Hashem. Basically, place your hope in Hashem, strengthen your heart. But what does the pasuk again with? Place your hope in Hashem. meaning it's constant. It has to keep going. It's not just we made an act and now everything's great, but we have to constantly do it. And with these thoughts and ideas, hopefully we'll continue to continuously build this relationship with Hashem, with our Father, and be able to get a lot out of our tefillos. Now, I have this email that someone once sent me, which I think is somewhat apropos to this, and then I'll go to the story and the homework. And basically it says, Hashem doesn't have a BlackBerry or an iPhone, but he's my favorite contact. He doesn't have Facebook, but he's my best friend. He doesn't have Twitter, but I follow him nevertheless. He doesn't have internet, but I am connected to him. And even though he has a massive communication system, he never puts me on hold. And it's something just to keep in mind that, you know, with all the technology and all the different things that we needed to, you know, for us to, you know, to do things, you know, it doesn't work that way with Hashem. And Hashem's there waiting for us, listening for us. And at every moment, you know, he's there, you know, to make that connection. This is a little different story about tefillah, but still about tefillah. In 1983, Rabbi Rodin, happens to be a Talmud of Chafetz Chaim, he's a Rav in Dallas, Texas. And one day, a Texan walked in there, and he said, "My name's Leonard Fruman, and I want to make a contribution to your synagogue." Rodin was very surprised. He read, you know, people didn't just usually walk off the street. And, you know, he figured he'll get a small little check. And Mr. Fruman said, "I want to give you $2,000, but I don't have my checks with me. I'll be back next week. You can count on me." And we wrote in, you know, returned the smile, wished Leonard well, said, "I'll never see him again. It's not going to happen. No one gives that money. He's not affiliated." Sure enough, a week later he returns, and it wasn't $2,000. He gave him $3,000. So Rabbi Rodin was a little speechless, and he said, you know, "Can you tell me a little about, you know, what's behind this?" And he mentioned, he said, "You know, I had traveled to Israel, and I had gone to the Western Wall, and there was someone, you know, praying over there. And I was just glued to what he was going through. And I just saw the connection that he had with his Maker, and it was just something that, you know, overcame me. And I said, when I go back home, I'm going to give something to the synagogue in my community." And Leonard, you know, joined the shul over time, and he became, you know, something to it. And we have to realize, you know, that the way we daven, how we daven, we don't know who necessarily is watching us, who's looking at us, you know, whether we're in our home shuls or we're traveling and we're somewhere else. The impression that we make, you know, if we show the joy, the excitement, the connection, you know, the feeling of, you know, I'm talking to my talking to my father, then that will make a difference that we can have an effect on someone else. And as the, you know, Rabbi Krohn takes the story further and just says, you know, this guy in Eretz Yisrael is going to go up to Olam Haba, and Hashem's going to say, you know, "Here's your chelik in Olam Haba," and he's going to say, "You know, what I do?" And he says, "You know, because of some guy in Dallas, Texas." And he's going to go, "Where's Dallas, Texas?" You know, but we don't know the imprint that we can make on somebody as we, you know, throughout tefillah. So, you know, we should take advantage that, you know, to do it, use it for ourselves, but realize how much we can, you know, affect the person that's next to us or there in the shul. So this week I decided we'll tie the homework to the concept, and we'll work on focusing on building this relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu each and every tefillah as we go through the week.